sip. Let's tune into Brad and Britt.
It is the Brad and Britt cast. It's our first one for this week. And there are a lot of things that we need to get to. But can I catch us up at least one thing? Because I must confess to you, Britt, I hate myself.
Why do you hate yourself?
I really do hate myself, and I told Jane I hate myself because on Friday, I watched almost the entire televised NRA speeches by politicians in Houston. I don't know why. I hated myself.
Wow.
I watched Ted Cruz. Of course, you know, Trump. At the end there. And in the middle, if he can fit in the middle, was North Carolina's Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that his thinking was, this is how you get a national name. This is how you roll it out. And he was as disgusting as the rest of them.
Yeah. Not more.
Off the wall, yeah. That's hard. That's an impossible. Yeah. You know, who's your favorite kid?
That's
who's the biggest jerk? Who's the biggest pandering pro gun? You're a couple hundred miles away from what happened
now
a week ago. And okay, but here's the point. Because I got a clip.
Oh, good.
And the reason that I've got a clip, and it isn't even from the NRA convention, but it may as well be. This is Mark Robinson, the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, a Republican. And by the way, there are so many things wrong with our political system, federally, state by state, and clearly one of the problems. And it's not just North Carolina. Lieutenant Governor and Governor should run as a team the way President and Vice President do. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's completely nuts, because if something happens to your governor during their term, what, you get a substitute governor until the next election of the other party? Really? Was that the intention somewhere, somehow, some way? Really? But anyway, that's beside the point. And I'm really good at beside the point, Sam.
Beside the point.
Roy Cooper today being Tuesday, called out Robinson.
Mm.
And not specifically for what he said at the NRA, which was bad enough, but for what he says about AR-15s in general. He says them apparently at every speech when he goes around the state or the country. He said these words shame the state. So when you talk about shame, who's better than Mark Robinson these days to represent the state of North Carolina and shame us all? Here you go. It's 35 seconds of Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina. Here's Mark Robinson.
Well, I tell anybody, I got them AR-15s at home, and I like to go target shooting and all that, but that's not what they're there for. I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm probably not supposed to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I got them AR-15s in case the government gets too big for us britches. Because I'm going to fill the backside of them britches with some lead. I'm going to just say it to you. I'm going to say it to you plain. Your boy ain't going down without swinging.
Well, there you go.
Sorry, was that Shucky Ducky from an appearance at Showtime at the Apollo, or was that Mark Robinson, the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina?
Oh, by the way, Britt, it did come complete with the do-rag wiping the face because of the sweat in the middle. That's what the pauses were. That was
people may not know. People who are listening to us may not know. He's a massive man. He's got to be four bills, right? He's got to be 400 pounds.
Who is that guy on? There's a guy on Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And Better Call Saul. Big black. He's great. He's a great. I don't remember his name. He looks just like him.
He
looks just like him.
People, again, Mark Robinson sort of rose to prominence in a viral video. The mayor of Greensboro was trying to cancel a gun show. It was after, it's been so many mass shootings ago, I can't remember, Brad. I can't remember which one it was. He goes to a city council meeting. He does 3 or 4 minutes of yelling, screaming, spitting. It goes viral, and then the right-wing bullshit blogs pick it up, and that's why he is now our lieutenant governor. I hope he was able to get into his bread and butter. The gun stuff has been on the back burner for Mark Robinson. He's a big-time gay hater and trans hater, and I hope he was able to get into some of that at the National Rifle Association convention.
So Roy Cooper, the current real governor of North Carolina, is calling out the lieutenant governor and would-be governor of North Carolina. And Roy Cooper can't run for re-election. And let me note something that was rattling around in the back of whatever passes for my mind the last few weeks, actually. There was a big conference, I believe, down in Florida by Democrats recently. Yes, they're always doing these strategy things. What the hell are we going to do? And the news that comes out of it is, well, what about if Joe Biden doesn't run in 2024? Who's on the bench? Who do we call? And you may be surprised at this, but one of the names really close, if not at the top of the list, is Roy Cooper of North Carolina for the simplest of reasons, which is he is a Democratic governor who has won twice in a reddening state. Mm-hmm. So it's often thought that those are the kind of guys who can translate whatever they have that enabled them to win in a state like North Carolina nationally. It doesn't mean he's running. It doesn't mean anything, except that it means something if it ends up being true. And we will, of course, mark this on our little ledger here and remind everyone of it if Roy Cooper happens to become the next president of the United States.
Of course.
It doesn't appear ready to happen, but it's just kind of interesting. And when Roy Cooper calls out Mark Robinson, who is as vociferous and obnoxious a proponent of unfettered ownership of guns, and the use of them is irrelevant, apparently, whether they're involved in mass shootings at schools or grocery stores or in the hundreds of crimes, thousands of crimes that occur in this country, I think, every day. And before anybody plays the card, and I don't know whether everybody's bothered to play this, well, what about the 30 people that died over Memorial Day weekend from gunshots? How come nobody's saying anything about that? Well, why am I saying something about it? Because I read it everywhere, and I read articles about it everywhere, and people are saying things about it. It's just that it isn't 20 children under the age of 12, which tends to focus the mind and get more press attention. But don't you always love that one when they try to downplay a mass shooting by saying, well, what about all the individual shootings? What about the only 2 or 3 at a time shootings? How come you don't say anything about that? What about Chicago? What's the deal with, how come you don't talk about Chicago?
The south side of Chicago it's always low-hanging fruit for these people.
Yeah. What the hell do you think bad Leroy Brown was? What's the first line of that song, Britt? Go ahead.
South side of Chicago is the baddest part of town.
Exactly. Come on.
If you go down there, you better best beware of a man named Doo Doo Brown, who was just performing on Showtime at the Apollo. You just heard him. Here's Lindsay saying, wondering what Mark Robinson's opinion is on abortion. Well, if there was a genetic marker for gay, he'd be in favor of aborting that fetus at any point in time, correct?
No, Mark Robinson is fully against abortion.
Unless they're going to be gay.
He's a 100%er. No, don't even bring that up, Britt. That's not even necessary to snark this one.
I know you're in the moment with this and with the gun thing, but he's Mr. Anti-Gay. He's Mr. Anti-Transgender. He is the poster child for the Republican Party on this stuff.
That's not the point. You don't have to be a gay fetus for Mark Robinson to want to protect you. Or you don't have to be a straight fetus, I guess, for Mark Robinson to want to protect you. Okay.
But it helps.
Yeah. That's the point. You get protection whether you're gay or straight.
Now, when you're out of the womb, when you're actually walking around, you're fucked. Because, you know, he's going to put some lead in you if you come anywhere near his front door for any reason whatsoever. I want you to imagine a scenario, and hopefully you're alive in 20 years and I'm alive in 20 years, and I want you to really lean into this. I would be, I'm not going to say how old you would be. I would be 71 years old 20 years from now.
I would be 73.
I want you to imagine there's still an Academy Award ceremony. They're still having it, still broadcast on worldwide, whatever we're watching stuff on 20 years from now. And Tom Cruise is still alive, and they bring him forward to they want to give him a special award. Tom Cruise is the man that brought America back to the theaters, Brad. He's the guy. Can you imagine the success of this Top Gun movie in 2022 as COVID is starting to rise again, or is continuing to rise again, getting Americans back into the theater for Top Gun Maverick?
Wow, there's a lot moving back and forth on this story. I mean, everyone that's seen that movie over the weekend says it's great. Okay, so just separate the fact that everything you know about Tom Cruise makes him into a hideous person that you would not want to know.
Correct. Okay, Mr. Scientology.
Exactly, and that's just the beginning of it. I mean, he's just a dreadful, dreadful person on so many levels. At least the way he's been in public, from the couch jumping to the threats to the weirdness to the number of people who he's apparently abused along the way on sets and things of that sort. And isn't Nicole Kidman, isn't that a case where if you bring his name up around her, you know, she runs the other direction? And in his case, if you bring her name up to him, I don't know, he has like a hit squad come after you. So I don't know what that's all about, right? I mean, did he shit in her bed too? Tom Cruise is just, I don't like the guy. I have no reason to like him. But he's a savant. He's a control freak, and he puts out movies that a lot of people like. Not me. I'm trying to remember the last Tom Cruise movie I paid to see. And you know what? It might have been Top Gun, the original.
Jesus, 36
That's
years
how
ago.
Long. I've never seen any of the Mission Impossible movies. Not interested.
Jerry Maguire? You never saw Jerry Maguire?
I have not seen Jerry Maguire. In fact, it's in my DVR on the things that, God damn it, let's watch this tonight, and then we never do. But I have it.
I think Cuba Gooding Jr. became like the third black person ever to win an acting award for his role in that film.
I understand that, but I haven't seen it. Now, if your question is 20 years from now, if the world gets back to whatever passes for normal, and someone can point to this movie on this weekend as being the turning point where we came out of whatever alleged funk and aversion to going to movie theaters. Remember, it was just a year ago. None of us was ever going to go to a movie theater ever again. Fortunately, that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. In fact, just about every life has changed permanently in blank because of COVID, and it'll never be the same again. Almost every one of those predictions has turned out to not be true. No one will ever go to a gym again. Everyone's going to have a Peloton in their house. And that turned out not to be true.
That's true.
You could just run down the whole list. Zoom. No one's ever going to business travel again. Everyone's going to Zoom forever, except for you and me. Of course, we do. But
no kid is ever going to go back to a live classroom.
That's right. So will Tom Cruise ever become the beloved figure that, you know what, I'm thinking of another person of different, of another generation who had a like an Orson Welles. Okay. Yeah. Orson Welles was a difficult guy to work with.
Yeah.
And he made several great movies. Then he made some flopperoos. But when you look at what were his flopperoos now, they're pretty damn good. And he really is recognized as one of the greatest of the greats. And at the end of his life, there was no hostility against Orson Welles, and he did receive all the awards and things of that sort. But on the other hand, he wasn't as fucked up as Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is just a weird guy. So long story, long answer, no. Tom Cruise will not get the Thalberg Award. Tom Cruise will not be the Steven Spielberg of actors. He just won't be. I don't think he will.
I was if you go on Rotten Tomatoes, I don't know if that's a site that you go, certainly you've heard of it. The agreement between the audience and the critics on this movie is stunning. I mean, usually the critics go one way. If they love a movie, the audience is like, "Nah, it's okay." Both are like well over 90%. And I don't know if I quite get it. Obviously, I haven't seen the movie. I was in the wheelhouse. I was a teenager when that film came out, full of all sorts of testosterone and semen and all of the things that would take him to go see the stupid. And I didn't go see it. And I just hope. And I
pray. Wait, hang on. Are you telling me you've never seen the first Top Gun?
I've seen most of it. I've seen bits and pieces. I know enough to get.
So you never really saw it. No, you've seen.
No, I experienced.
Okay, just say it. I've got a whole list of those. You know that. You know what? I just thought of another one. I saw it because it came up in some venue the other day. I've never seen A League of Their Own.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. You should see that. But this comfort food of this mid to late 80s Cold War chest thumping as we go toward Cold War II. I'm very reticent that we're going to plunge back into that. I'm very reticent about that.
I think you are very early and on to something that will be revealed over the next few days and weeks when, how should we say it, more sophisticated reviewers look at this movie, no matter how well it's accepted. Because if the theme of it is, it's the hardware stupid, it's the weapons stupid, kind of, if it's, when you strip everything away in the movie, if it's the special effects stupid, Tom Cruise risked his life hanging out of a plane stupid, kind of, if that's what it is, you will be vindicated in what you're saying right now and proven right by a lot of folks, because it's true. Maybe the timing of this is perfect. We're arming a country that we consider friendly against that same enemy, right, that existed when the first Top Gun movie came out, except the enemy had a different name. It was still the Soviet Union, was it not? Wasn't that movie in the 80s before the Soviet Union?
It was like 1986.
Right. Yeah. That's right. So I think you have you've hit it right there. Wow. The target just split apart because you hit it, but nobody knows it yet. And that's why we get the big bucks
for
being the premier podcasters in the country that nobody knows.
Come hang out at my jacuzzi.
We're happy with that. We're good with that.
No, I've often said this for people who try to romanticize the 80s, and I think you've kind of tempered some of that. There was a period of time when this chest thumping testosterone Reagan era bullshit, it was Rocky IV, it was this film, it was Red Dawn, it was we're gonna kick your ass, we're gonna have a couple of sex scenes in the movie, and Kenny Loggins will do the soundtrack, and America's gonna just throw its dick in everybody's face. That's basically what it was for a few years, and it was horrible, but people bought into it and loved it. And I understand this is not a film for you to go to the theaters and think about. You don't have to think about this movie. If you want to feel good, you feel good. We've had a couple of rough years in America. I don't know if you've been reading about this, but we've had a couple of really, really tough years in America. And times aren't that great for a lot of people. And I understand the idea of escapism. But God, if they're going to try to sell this Cold War macho bravado, I'm going to lose it. I'm sorry. But I can't deal.
To be fair, we haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen the film.
So therefore,
really it might be great. It might be fantastic. We're going back to Mark Robinson for just a moment because a couple people reminding us. His wife bought an abortion for his then girlfriend who he married back in the day. And he's a
fucking hypocrite because now he wants to not allow women the same choice.
Right.
That woman, was he married to her yet, or were they?
No, they were not married at the time, and they said it was the wrong decision, and they do not disclose why they chose to make that decision and why and they want to take away from other people.
I understand that Lieutenant Governor Robinson has asked the Republican legislature to officially change in the North Carolina dictionary the phrase shotgun marriage into an AK-47 marriage.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I did there? Kevin? Yeah.
I see what you did there, Kevin.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. While we're doing things like talking about movies, and we get closer to some kind of moment where local newspapers that are not called the New York Times or Washington Post become just complete whining for your birdcage.
Oh, yeah.
And it isn't even like it's happening slowly, but it really sped up for me in the last couple days because Monday was Memorial Day. And keep in mind, this is now we're into the first full year of my total disgust with the local paper because last August they raised the price of a subscription by 40%.
Jesus.
That went $25 a month suddenly overnight. Now, I give them credit. They saw rampant inflation coming, so they did get out ahead of that to help feed it. They saw it coming. And I thought that was just outrageous. But they've made some kind of calculation that the number of people who would drop the daily subscription to the News and Record of Greensboro was far fewer than the amount of money they would gain by the higher subscription. Of course, they weigh that before they raise the price. And they did that. On Monday, Memorial Day, I go outside and there's no paper there. And they have this phone number you can call. And it's a fake phone number. It feels it's got a voice menu and you put in your address and who you are. And thank you for telling us. We'll have another paper delivered to you by 11 o'clock. No, there's no paper that ever gets delivered on a day that you ever call that you didn't get a paper. It's fake. It's just a fraud. Okay. Any other service would go out of business if they did it that way, right? You just can't do that. You can't do that, but they do. And because in the case of a newspaper, you know, you can look at it online, which I'm fully aware of that. I know that exists. That's not the point.
Yeah. Are you aware of this thing called the internet? That's great.
All right. Then, after I've dialed this number and before I've told them on Monday that I didn't get the paper, and then it rings, and then the first thing coming, there will be no physical newspaper today, Monday, because of the holiday. We'll resume delivery on Tuesday.
Wow.
That's right. This is the first time that's happened.
Wow.
They've now thrown in the towel and said the idea of a daily newspaper being delivered to you is we're done with that. And here we go. Here's the first time. Now, around the country, a lot of larger papers than the one that's here have gone more radically to that model. They only publish 2 days a week physically and deliver 2 days a week, maybe 3 days, right? Mm-hmm. You know about the Cleveland Plain Dealer for years has not had 7 day a week print. It just doesn't. But here, they held out. Now, it's started. All right, so that's bad. Okay, I get it. I understand. I do. But then, today, which is Tuesday, and we talk about this all the time, and we all know, please don't text me or put something on the bottom of the screen. I know that newspapers now have staffs, no matter how big the paper is, unless, again, it's the Washington Post or the New York Times.
Correct.
Of a bare minimum of people. I mean, there aren't even people there to turn off the lights in the building that they abandoned, that they're ready to tear down. The paper just kind of exists on some computer screen somewhere. Who knows? And on Tuesday, the physical paper had nothing in its sports section about what I think probably was the biggest, maybe the second biggest, it could argue depending on what, the biggest sporting event in North Carolina on Monday. That would be a game seven of the National Hockey League team, the Hurricanes, getting blown out by the New York Rangers. And I'm no hockey fan. I don't care about hockey. I didn't watch the game, but I had kind of a prurient interest in finding out the score. And I think I tuned in at the very end and I saw what it was, like 5-1 or so. Okay, fine. And that was on Monday. So Tuesday, the paper resumes its delivery and there's nothing in the sports section, not a thing about the game. Well, must obviously because it ended, you know, at 11:30. No, this game was in the afternoon. This game was at 3-4 in the afternoon. Okay. So when you look at your local paper now and you can see that every article in there is something that is either pre-produced syndicated bullshit, or if it is about something that's going on in the world right now, it has to be 2 days old. You can only, for instance, in our local sports section, have several articles about the Boston Celtics, who played their game seven when? On Sunday. So by Tuesday, they've got, it's pathetic.
Didn't you get a Cracker Jack recap of the Coca-Cola 600, which was run on Sunday night? Didn't you get that on the Tuesday paper?
Oh, there's nothing in there. No, you can't have that.
Oh, that's not happening. You can't have that. But the Boston Game 7 victory over Miami on Sunday is front and center.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. Ron Popeil.
Look at their website. If you go to greensboro.com, that's their website. There's still nothing about the Carolina Hurricanes. Obviously, that has nothing to do with the timing anymore because it's the web. Again, I'm not a big hockey fan, but fucking A, it's the NHL team that's pretty close by, that's a big deal to a lot of sports fans. They don't even have it on their website.
Joel Embiid's having hand surgery. That's one of the stories that bumps the Carolina Hurricanes.
But what I'm saying is that they're admitting their own irrelevance and they don't care. And they're just begging me to say, no mas, you win.
I have to say, as an old guy who's rapidly approaching getting all of the senior citizen discounts, one of the things that I enjoyed when I was growing up, my grandmother would get daily delivery of the Asheville Citizen Times, which was a big city newspaper to me. And I would go after school and we would read it and I would look at it and I really enjoyed it. And one of the things I would enjoy when we would go on summer vacation, whether it was Philadelphia, Nashville, D.C., is getting the local paper. I really enjoyed getting that. And now there's like nobody's ever going to. It's not a thing. Right. It's not a thing anymore. Well, that's not going to. It's just not. And I enjoy, one of the things I also enjoyed when we go on the road in places like that, Brad, listening to the local radio stations.
But the fact is, these entities, they still exist.
Yeah,
okay,
barely.
And if they're going to continue to exist, they can't play the fool the customer game and get away with it. You just can't do it.
But they do play the I don't give a shit. But they're playing the I don't give a shit about the customer game, and they're doing that beautifully. They're killing that.
No argument there.
Did you see that they took out? Now, did you see the story a couple of weeks ago? They took out the very last payphone in New York City. They removed the very last payphone in the entire. Okay.
You just out Andy Rooney'd me by a factor of 50 by even mentioning that story, because that truly was a story that wasn't a story, because the real story is that payphones have not been available really anywhere for about 10 years or 15 years, and just because the last one is gone, it's kind of a curiosity
in New York.
Yeah,
but they've set up some places where you can make phone calls, like just on like a cell phone.
So you mean like police station,
like stuff like that?
Yeah, like the police station. So
breaking news now: the Clinton campaign lawyer who had lied about the Russia Trump connection apparently found not guilty of lying about the Russia Trump connection, which means there was a Russia-Trump connection. This is what your Uncle Oscar was screaming about with the Durham investigation on Thanksgiving and at Christmas. Right. And this was, we got him. We got this Clinton son of a bitch, and he's going down. And well, he didn't exactly go down. He's been acquitted. No conspiracy.
Well, Britta,
collusion.
You know, it's Hillary Clinton that was in the pocket of the Russians the whole time. And they tried to make Donald Trump look, all right. Now, you're lucky that you know me, because guess who was watching Fox at noon?
Oh, boy.
When that decision came down, and you're talking to him right now. And it was hilarious to listen to the recitation of the story on Fox, which, in effect, did what all Republicans do now, which is disregard the law, disregard the institution. Apparently, the unanimous jury, of course, got it wrong. Apparently, the unanimous jury just didn't see the facts as we have been reciting them on Fox primetime for several years. But what makes it even worse is the prosecutor in the case, who was hired, I guess he was an this John Durham guy, he said all the right things that you're supposed to say after a decision is made. He said, we respect the decision of the jury. You're not supposed to say that, are you, Britt?
No.
Aren't you supposed to say it was fixed?
We're going to appeal this to Mars.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, and what can you say? Yeah, because as you know, Donald Trump was 100% exonerated of everything that's ever been alleged about him. What about that? How come we don't hear anything about that?
Certainly Bill Barr made it seem that way. Certainly Bill Barr's statement about the report. Yeah, that certainly made it seem that way. But no, that's not what happened at all. And that's when Trump came out with the no collusion, no conspiracy thing. And now they can't find anything. Wait a minute. Hunter Biden's laptop. Now that's gonna bear fruit.
It never stops talking.
Hunter Biden's laptop. That's one of those things where we should make Hunter Biden's laptop into a character. That if we were still on the Mighty 101, I would have made it into a character with a disembodied voice, and we would talk.
Yeah, we're talking to Hunter Biddens laptop right now.
That's exactly right.
What would your voice be?
It would be like for Hunter Biden. It would be one of those like disembodied computer pixelated voices.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we could have a filter. We could have a filter and make
that's
it.
That's how you do it.
Oh, by the way, one more thing, which will glide us into something. While I was beating up the news and record, apparently I have reached some status at the paper. And by the way, Alan Johnson, who's the editorial page editor, and he writes a column for them every Sunday. He's a great guy. He's one of the last men standing there, a actual real person who is in Greensboro and lives here and works at the paper. He's a great guy. I've talked to him many times over the years. And apparently I've reached the point where when I write a letter to the editor, they don't even call me anymore to verify that it was me. They don't do it. In this particular case, they didn't make any changes. I wrote a letter on Thursday, and it was in the Sunday paper. It was in this. It was the lead first letter, and it was all about Richard Burr. And I said what a disappointment Burr was and how he's gone into hiding because he's just trying to get the hell out of Congress without getting nailed for insider trading. His net worth went from $186,000 to, you know, $7.5 million from the time he was first elected congressman to right now or last year. So being a congressman, it's not a poverty stricken job like you're led to believe how much people give up to be in Congress. You remember how many times you've heard that one? Oh, mm-hmm. I could have been in private sector. I could have made zillions of dollars, but I'm toiling over here in Congress for the people. And that Richard Burr, if he wanted to do one last thing to at least attempt to salvage whatever horrible reputation he has as yet another third-rate, inconsequential Republican U.S. Senator from North Carolina. The list is endless. Hello, John East. Who? Oh, that's a million of them. Lock Faircloth. Holy shit.
Lock Faircloth. That's a good one.
Oh, my God. He could decide to do the right thing and say, I am going to vote with Democratic senators on reasonable gun legislation right now. Background checks, universal background checks, red flag laws, age requirements. He could do that. And you know what? The NRA couldn't fund a primary opponent against him and ruin his life and destroy him. He couldn't do it. Now, will Richard Burr do that here? No. Haven't heard a word from him on this. Have you? Haven't heard a word.
Why would we? I've lowered my expectations so much.
By the way, the last line of my letter is don't hold your breath.
Exactly.
Sorry. Had to do that. The phrase of the year, maybe. The laugh phrase of the year, inadvertently, and not without any sense of cynicism, did come from President Biden the last few days. And it's being repeated, and I don't hear anybody going after it the way we're about to go after it. Here's the phrase. It's a two-worder coming out of Joe Biden. Ready? Reasonable Republicans.
That's cute.
First of all, that's the obvious oxymoron of the decade, right? Is it reasonable or is it rational? Can't remember which one it is.
There's a problem with conservatism as far as branding goes, and you remember that, you know, there was, because Bush came up with that phrase, compassionate conservative, right? I'm a compassionate conservative. You had to kind of tender it a little bit because conservatives are seen as being stringent hard asses who cannot admit fault or change course for anything, right?
Boy, but that's the exception. The Republicans, they live off of destroying you with two-word slogans.
That's true.
Okay. That was a bad one. Yeah, it's rational Republicans. That's what it is. Biden says Mitch McConnell is, quote, a rational Republican to work on gun control with him. And come on. And of course, Biden has to do that. He has to take the high road here and give them the space. But this is the ultimate, you know, Charlie Brown and the football that we've seen a million times. Is it going to be different this time? If it is different this time, if people like John Cornyn, the senior senator from Texas, the one who wasn't insulted at a sushi restaurant by some crazed liberal on Friday, that was Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
If Cornyn is actually serious and they are going to have a Zoom call, I believe it was today, Tuesday, where 10 senators are going to see if they could find some common ground. Okay. This is like being in a fucking marriage. And in the first year of your marriage, he doesn't pick up his underwear. And you think, you know what? I'm not going to fight him. He doesn't do it. But it's driving you crazy. And year after year, never picks up his, I promise I'll do it. You're in year 40 of the marriage. He's never going to pick up his underwear. What are you thinking? He is not going to pick up his underwear. The only difference is in year 40, that underwear is way nastier than it was in year one. And
it's,
I
fairly
don't want to
crusty.
Tell you why.
It's a fairly crusty. Again, we've seen this song before. 9.5 years after Sandy Hook, Joe Manchin got some guys together. They talked to the NRA. He sat down with some NRA guys and said, look, we need to just, let's do some background checks. Let's do just some simple things. And the NRA was like, we're good. Let's sit down. Let's negotiate. We'll give you this. You get this. We don't like this. You like, we'll do it. And then there are some gun nuts that are crazier than.
Can I just interject this? As if the NRA is, are they the fourth branch of government, Britt?
Well,
do you negotiate with the NRA? I mean, think about what you just said.
It feels a lot like it. It feels quite a bit like it. So other groups that are more radical than the National Rifle Association, and there are some, look up Gun Owners of America. They started getting on their mailing list, telling their members, the NRA is about to sell your fucking asses out. You need to raise hell. They did. The NRA said, we're out. This thing's really kind of working for us. So you just go along your merry way. We'll have some more dead kids for you next week.
Didn't we have Merry that guy Christmas. on ZTK, the one, Larry, is it Larry Platt? Was that the guy who was the head of Gun Owners Association of America?
When the National Rifle Association is just too reasonable, too calm for you, there's the Gun Owners of America. And I still say, you can make fun of me all you want to, I still say that it is absolutely 100% fair to point out that there is an economic system that benefits getting dangerous weapons into dangerous people's hands. And if you don't name Ted Budd's name in the next breath after you say that, it's over. You are completely legitimate. It's completely fair. And I don't give a shit what they call it.
I will just put this in on behalf of the president and the, I guess, 89% of us when we're polled say we want these no-brainer, reasonable regulations put in place, which, as you know, most of us who think that these regulations should be put in, we think that if they're put in place, there will never, ever be another mass shooting, right? We believe that every one of those. Okay, so that, I love that argument. Don't you love that one? That if there were these rules in place, that would not have stopped this particular.
Yeah. No, what we're aiming for is.
That's a great reason to never do anything, right? Because
what we're aiming for those people that would actually make that argument, is maybe not have one every day. Maybe slow it down to, you know, four or five times a year. And then we can work from there. That's what we're trying to work for, isn't it?
Right. But when you reach this point, the only way that quote unquote rational Republicans do what rational people would be doing, and you know, remember, we have a political system that by definition, I think we've figured this out, and we understand that it's true, rewards minority rule and obstructionism over majority rule in almost every case. We've seen it time after time, court decision after court decision. I was reading a piece, and I'm not going to try to call it up here right now, but apparently there really was a period similar in the 1840s and 1850s to what we have now. And it went through, I believe, three different presidents where they had a huge majority on the Supreme Court that kept ruling in favor of slavery over, and it doesn't matter what the decision, I think it was the Kansas-Nebraska Act was the first thing that came up. And for about 15 years, those presidents stacked the Supreme Court. Later, that was called packing it, but that didn't count because it only was really packing it when Franklin Roosevelt said, I'm going to actually add more justices. So,
which he was not allowed to do, and it was struck down. He didn't do it.
That's right. He didn't do it anyway. But he would have if he could have.
He would have if he could have.
That's the most important thing. But the point is that by the end of that 15-year period, what happened? We got civil war. We got real civil war because America – in the whole, was not going to tolerate minority rule. That's really what it was. So if you want to play the analogy game, what's going on, right? We have minority rule right now. We have a Supreme Court that has been completely bludgeoned and tilted in the direction of minority rule. We have justices, many of them now appointed by presidents who didn't get the majority of the popular vote. We have a couple who are in there only because the rules and customs were changed by Mitch McConnell to slide them through. So we have a court now that's going to rule on issue after issue against the wishes of the majority. And I understand we don't rule by referendum in this country. That's not the point. We don't put everything, but the courts at some level have to reflect what people in the United States care about and desire to happen without leaning on this whacked, fucked up originalist idea that whatever was written in 1787, the ink has dried, nothing can be interpreted or changed or altered except by amendment, which there will never, ever be another constitutional amendment as long as we live, right?
That's for sure.
There will never, ever be one, so forget that. That's not going to change. So this whole thing now with gun regulation and the decision that's about to come out in the New York case in the Supreme Court, which is going to strike down some of the local laws there, on background checks and the state of New York, they're going to get struck down by the Supreme Court. I mean, that's just another example. This is if you think the ruling on Roe versus Wade is against majority opinion in the country, well, so is this ruling on guns. And the fact that it's going to come out, well, in the next week or so, maybe 2 weeks, whenever the decisions really they come out, right in June. It's going to tear the country apart even more. It's going to underscore the divisions in our country that the Republican Party, listen closely, it's not both sides do it. It's the Republican Party that has seen little cracks and decided to drive a bulldozer through them and wreck basic civil discourse in the pursuit of permanent political power. Ooh, I kind of like that. Should have written that one down. Like
you also
that.
Said you said a funny word a moment ago. You said gun, and you followed it by the word regulation, which the root word of that is regulate. You know, the word regulated actually appears in the Second Amendment. That word is actually in the Second Amendment. Did you know that?
I hear that that's true. Right, of course. But Britt, the words well regulated, those are the two forgotten words.
Of course. Of course.
Right?
Exactly.
And of course, those of us who believe that it's probably not a good idea to allow unfettered access to handguns, shotguns, rifles, semi-automatic weapons, yeah, weapons of war, we believe that those two words, well regulated, doesn't just apply to the militia, a well regulated militia, right? And if it does apply to well regulated militia, it doesn't say that you can't regulate them beyond that. So I've always thought that the most disingenuous interpretation of the Second Amendment, which is used by quote-unquote originalists, is just so off the charts that it's beyond belief. And that clip, and we can play it on the next podcast if you want, but a lot of people have seen it by now, of former Chief Justice Warren Burger, who retired in 86. He retired in 86, and Nixon kicked William Rehnquist up to Chief Justice to replace Warren Burger. And so the Associate Justice position was filled by Antonin Scalia. So there you have it, 1986. 5 years later, Warren Burger, 5 years retired, says, and the clip's all over the place. It was, he said it on C-SPAN. It's everywhere, that the interpretation of the Second Amendment by people who want to defend unfettered access to guns is the biggest load of shit he's ever heard. He doesn't quite use those words, but he's damn close. He says the biggest scam ever. Who are you kidding? There's no way. And Warren Burger was no liberal. Warren Burger was appointed by Richard E. Nixon to be the Chief Justice, and he was no lefty. He was appointed by the president who made Law and Order the ticket to getting elected in 68.
And we know what Law and Order meant.
It means we're going to have 20 shows. You have 20 shows that are going to run forever, produced by Dick Wolf, and we're going to lose our minds. Okay, that's what Law and Order meant.
It means we're going to keep those hippies and their black folks in their part of town, and we're going to take care of them. Don't you worry, good white people. That's what Law and Order meant in 1968.
Well, Law and Order now, and people don't know about that. What Law and Order, as it's spoken now, is Law and Order means street crime by black people.
That's correct.
Law and order does not mean attempts to overthrow the United States government.
That's right.
At the Capitol on January 6th. That's not about law and order. Yeah. Okay. That has nothing to do with law and
correct.
Order. Correct. So get that straight, liberal. Get it straight. Law and order. Yeah.
We finish up on this. Lee Greenwood's out. Canceling the NRA appearance, not only doing that, but announcing it on Fox and Friends on Friday, Brad. Fox, he said, I just can't. I'm going to get the exact quote from Lee Greenwood. During an appearance on Fox and Friends, Greenwood added, for me to go and play the NRA just days after the shooting would be an endorsement. And people would deem that as me saying, I like this weapon. Obviously, that weapon killed kids. I just couldn't go. The host of the Fox News morning program quickly changed the subject. So, Lee, eat any good sandwiches lately? What do you think of that return of that crunch wrap at Taco Bell? That Mexican pizza's back, too. Is that good?
Well, all right. I'm glad you dropped that one in there. I didn't see it. I hadn't seen it. Because, again, I hate to even sound like incrementalism is definitely the way to get this done. Because we've been incrementally permitting the mass murder of people in schools, in movie theaters, in grocery stores, in churches for decades. And by the way, keep it in mind, the original mass murderer in the modern era is Charles Whitman at the University of Texas in the tower there in 1966, knocking off about 15 people. So this is not a new thing. 1966, I believe that's the year of Rubber Soul and Revolver for you Beatles fans.
Oh, good times. Yeah, both yeah. Albums.
Right. So if we're at that point, and so a couple days ago, it was John Voight. John Voight jumped off the train. Here's Lee Greenwood jumping off the train. Now, does that mean anything? No, except it means something because, well, I know, of course, it makes it that much more difficult to book a quality entertainment at right-wing events. There are just fewer and fewer people that are going to be available to get out there. Now, here's the thing that would really put it over for me with Lee Greenwood, who I don't know that well. I just know him from that song. I know he's had a pretty good career. And he's a pretty big star. But he's obviously played the game, and he has not stood in the way of the use of that song, I think, in a disgusting way by politicians. If he said, Trump, no more, don't play it. Because, you know, Trump has changed the song at the end. He's changed it from you can't always get what you want to YMCA. He's right? He's changed...
Please, God, in a couple of years, let me have an appearance with Trump and Mark Robinson on stage as YMCA wraps up something. Please, God, let me see that before I die. And I'll be happy to go right after that.
But if Lee Greenwood didn't just say, well, I didn't show up at the NRA convention because that would look like an endorsement, and that gives space to the gun nuts to go, no, Lee, you could have gone. We understand. We don't want children to die either. See, to me, yeah, that's good, mm-hmm. but it's not as good as it could be and should be. If Lee Greenwood is sincere, if he's had a change of heart, if he's figured out he's been used as a tool by gun nuts and right-wingers and Trump and everyone else to take that song and give it meaning that I'm sure he had no intention of it having when he wrote the song, then he would say to Donald Trump, find another tune. Find another tune. In which case, Trump would still use it because yeah. he's such a prick. But it would be great. I'd like to see that. And so there were a couple other people that backed out also. It wasn't just Lee Greenwood.
It just meant that Ted Nugent had to play two sets, I think is what it meant.
Well, okay. So at the NRA, it was a win, right?
Of course. Here it is.
There's nothing like a twin spin from
Ted Nugent from the Motor City Matter. I mean, if you like 9 minutes of Stranglehold, you're going to love 20 minutes of it. Here we go.